The makers of The Kingdom, director Peter Berg and producer Michael Mann, would like you to believe that their film is topical. Well, it is in the medical sense, that is, applied to a body part without penetrating, in this case, the brain. In a different time, that the film moves efficiently may have been enough to partially excuse its inanity, but considering its theater is the Middle East and its subject is the hunt for a terrorist, this is hardly the time for cock and bull. It's a passionately appealing fantasy to airdrop an American super warrior to re-wage a lost war, and this time, by God, win it. Though Jamie Foxx looks a more appropriate gladiator for 2006 than Sylvester Stallone, make no mistake, this is Rambo all over again. My problems with the film are twofold. First, I resent the bait and switch. If you watch the evolution of trailers for The Kingdom, you saw the evidence of significant retooling, or at least repackaging. Originally, the film was pitched as a straight-up action movie, but a few months before release, new trailers emphasized a supposedly political relevance. Now the film looked a lot like Syriana. Perhaps this has to do with the film's delay from a summer to a fall release, when audiences are primed to think, or at least to think about the Oscars, and heavier movies stand a better chance at the box office. The Kingdom begins with a précis of Saudi history, beginning with the establishment of the state in 1932, through the discovery of oil and the setting up of the Saudi elites, through the energy crisis and the 74 embargo, and Iraq's incursion into Kuwait, and finally to the Saudi alienation of bin Laden. It's an auspicious opening. We're swept up in a whirlwind of characters, each with his name and title inscribed below his face, like the documentary No End in Sight. And then the film changes gears. The history lesson? Forgotten. The big cast of political players? Dropped. This is a movie in which four federal agents, with the help of a Saudi policeman but essentially acting on their own, catch one of the worst terrorists in the world within 72 hours. Could we have caught bin Laden if we had moved as quickly in Afghanistan? As I said, the film is about re-waging our old battles. My second objection to the film is to its entire third act, in which fantasy completely overtakes us and the violent payback they think we desire arrives in force. I don't think we do desire that payback. I think they think we're stupid. A convoy of black SUVs carrying the Americans is struck by a Mercedes carrying a car bomb, and under a hail of gunfire, one of the federal agents is taken hostage. The scene is very well staged, but we've been here before, not least in the machine guns in the street battle from Michael Mann's Heat. Not for nothing was Michael Mann the producer of The Kingdom. While the captured Fed is being prepped for a beheading, the remaining Americans are trapped in an alley pinned down by machine gun fire from the rooftops. It seemed to me that they were fish in a barrel, but the American bullets find their mark with the eerie precision of a settler's bullet in the heart of an Indian in a Western. Even Jennifer Garner, who plays the token woman, who is along mostly to cast dispersion on the poor treatment of women under Islam, gets to kick the butt of a Saudi man twice her size. I wonder, if it were released today, would James Cameron film True Lies, in which Arnold Schwarzenegger pilots a Harrier jump jet against Arab terrorists with the bomb in downtown Miami, still be a blockbuster? I suspect that it would. Complexity can wear you down, and when you're down, stupidity, masquerading as seriousness, has a chance to get by you. Don't let them do it to you. We're better than that. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kuchera.